This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
I love what God's doing in Restoration. I love what He's doing in our city, allowing us to believe Him to impact beyond these four walls and to really see a difference in our community because Jesus loves St. Joe. Man, God loves this city. He's pumped for this city. He has a future and a hope for this city. Sometimes it takes a lot of imagination to see that future, right? The crew that was down at Riverfront Park yesterday, you know, when we started doing that, it was pretty bad. And you had to have some imagination to think it can make a difference. Well, 2 years later, man, that place is looking so much better. This place is looking better, you know, I mean, after 2 years here. And I just think that's how God works. Using our imagination, daring to dream with God, what could be. And that's the topic today we're going to look at as we examine daring faith, daring to imagine. Chris and I seem to have that gift of being able to imagine things that aren't easy to see in the natural. 8 times now we've bought these old, ugly, homely houses and fixed them up, remodeled them to the best of our ability, and sold them. And that's kind of how we've done that in our lives. That's, you know, 8 times we've rolled those things over and just seen God provide for us that way. Because we could see things that others maybe overlooked or weren't as excited to jump into. And God's looking for those who will partner with Him in projects that others might look at and not see a lot of hope for. But for those who will see through His eyes, using the gift of godly imagination, that's how God made the universe, right? He imagined it, spoke it, and it came to be. He imagined your life before you were even born. And today walks with you and has a dream for your life and for my life that's bigger than we can even fathom. And today we're going to talk about how He uses imagination, the gift to dream, to have His story unfold. That's how God knows what's going to happen in the future, right? He has foreknowledge. He has imagined. He has dreamed in His heart His plan for humanity, which is that we would come to know a relationship with His Son, Jesus. And that's what the story is unfolding still today. Everything starts with imagination. No decision would ever be made. No great thing would ever be accomplished without the gift of imagination and dreaming. You're never more like your Creator than when you're partnering with Him. Employing that gift of dreaming, of imagination. It's a tool. It can be used wisely or it can be used destructively. The Bible talks about imagination in 3 different categories we're going to cover today. There are things that we shouldn't imagine. There are things that we can't imagine. And there are things that we should imagine and dream with God about. So let's start. Number one, pull out your note sheet there in your worship guide. Let's write a few of these things down. Number one, some things we shouldn't imagine. The Bible calls these vain imaginations. Of course, we shouldn't imagine evil. That's how the enemy takes hold of our creative gift and uses it for the bad. Evil imaginations, revengeful imaginations, lust, worry. Oh, gosh, there's a big one. Talking about abusing your imagination. We think of things. We try to imagine the worst about a situation, and we worry about it. That's how the enemy can use our imagination for evil. The Bible said in Genesis that God flooded the earth because man's imaginations were only evil. That's what caused that to happen. But God has a better plan for our imagination. There are some things we simply can't imagine, like heaven, right? We can only imagine what it will be like, right? I could burst out in song right now. It's just the truth. We have no clue. If we did, I think it would impact how we live today. God's desire is for every person to live with Him forever. Heaven is an awesome place. And that perspective helps us keep our priorities right here on earth. 1 John 3 says, "Dear friends, we are already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when He comes, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is." That's just difficult to imagine for our limited human understanding. But there are some things we can imagine and should imagine with God. Philippians 4:8, we are to fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. There are some characteristics of this godly imagination, things that we should be dreaming and partnering with God in this creative process that I want to talk about today. Number one, my imagination shapes my life. Shapes my life. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart. Oftentimes that can be used for the bad, right? Or it can be used for the good. People have said, you know, I just can't imagine this or that. When we were first looking at this building, and, you know, I didn't even want to give people the address. It's like, because I knew what was going to happen. They were going to drive by and say, seriously? You know? And sure enough, people would say, like, I can't imagine that. It's like, exactly. You know, you've got to be able to see something in the natural that others would look at and say, I don't see the potential. But God always sees potential. He saw it in me when I didn't have a whole lot to offer. How about you? You know, we're like those ugly old homes that Chris and I remodeled. People passed them over. They weren't the attractive things. They weren't the things that were desirable for people. But God said, I can find the good in that. And he says that about our lives as well. Proverbs 4 says to be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by thoughts. Your life is shaped by the way that you think. Now, this is not a positive thinking speech today. This is Bible. You know, if we can go back even to the book of Genesis, you know, in the story of the Tower of Babel, how people's imaginations can be a destructive force. It says in Genesis 11, the Lord said, now that they are one people, speaking one language, this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing they've imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Doesn't sound bad, right? Except when you realize from the context that they were imagining themselves being like God, which always gets you in a lot of trouble. Didn't work so good for Satan, didn't work so good for the people in that time period. So our thoughts can be used for positive or for destructive, constructive or destructive. It's been said that a group can accomplish any impossible objective if they have three things going for them: cooperation, communication, and imagination. And I just think, okay, so if the world can take those three traits and accomplish wonderful things, why can't we as a church? What if we employed those same tactics? The world's kind of got it figured out. Where's the church? Man, we're just satisfied with doing our religious exercises and calling it good. And God's like, listen, I sent my son for a whole lot more than that. There's a new book out. I really want to read it. Is it good or God? I got to get that. John Bevere's new book. I think sometimes we can settle for the good when God has so, so much more imagined for us. Number two, imagining is essential to living by faith. If you can't imagine, it's going to be hard to walk and live by faith. If all you can think about is what your eyes can see. Hebrews 11, 1, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. See, God gave us two ways to see, right? He gave us our natural eyes, and he gave us our spiritual eyes. And we have to employ both. But sometimes your natural eyes can fool you. In order for you to have hope in something, you have to be able to picture it possible. You know, if you have no hope, if you don't have any idea that this is a potential in your life, why would you ever dare dream about it? It would seem cruel. And so when it comes to imagination, it's funny how to me God gives us these, I don't know, illustrations or examples of what it looks like. A couple of things in the church that we practice that are exercising our faith and our imagination. One is communion, right? How many of you ever remember seeing Jesus hang on a cross? Remember seeing that? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I don't think so. But yet we believe, don't we? We didn't see it, but we believe it by faith. Communion is an opportunity, sort of a living example, where we visit, figuratively, the cross. And we remember, don't we? We use our mind. We remember the sacrifice Jesus made through his blood and his body. Communion is a great example of God uses our imagination to remind us of a spiritual truth. Baptism is another great picture. I'm so pumped that we get to baptize some people in 2 weeks. First time in this building. Think about this. The last time there was water in that room was 1897 that we know of, right? Crazy stuff, man. God, what are you doing? You're a wild man. It's like we're going to have water back in there, dipping people in it. Symbolizing what? Jesus' death and resurrection. That's what baptism is, right? Going into the water, kind of identifying with Jesus' death, that I have died with him. And then as he rose from the dead, we might raise you from the baptismal waters if we want to, you know? I could be bribed to make the baptism last a little longer if we need to. So, but if you haven't signed up yet, we've got five people so far. Five signed up to be baptized. So awesome. So if you want to do that, make sure that you let us know. There'll be a little refresher course of what baptism's all about. Randy will do that at 10 o'clock that Sunday morning. So if you're a second service person, come just a little early and hang out with Randy. He'll get you all prepped for that. So cool. God told Abraham, another example, count the stars, right? See if you can count the stars in the sky. Is that even possible? No. But he was using Abraham's imagination. Wow, it's that big? It's that numerous? He was helping him creatively picture how big God was and how God planned to use him. See, I'm a creative guy. I love this stuff, man. You know, my background's in broadcasting. So I think in pictures, you know, and telling stories. And I love how God employs that in getting our attention and communicating to us. 2 Corinthians 4:18, probably my favorite scripture on this topic. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. See, that's why we put our stock, our investment in something that outlasts this life. Because this life is, man, temporary. Can't tell you how many funerals I've presided over, how many families I've sat with, losing a loved one unexpectedly, quickly, with no notice. And then the reality of, wow, this life is so brief. We never know how much time we're going to get. So it's so critical to invest the time we have well. Third purpose, great lives are built around great dreams. Great lives are built around great dreams. There are no naturally born great people, right? We're all kind of born the same way, kicking, screaming, ugly as a lizard. That's how we come. And then what we do with the life we've been given, that's what makes greatness happen. I'm going to read you some quotes. Why don't you hold on showing them before we reveal? Thank you, Amanda. You're amazing. Listen to this. Guess who wrote this? Imagination is more important than knowledge. Logic will get you from point A to point B. Imagination will take you everywhere. The true sign of intelligence, there's your clue, is not knowledge, but imagination. Who do you think said that? Go ahead, Amanda. Winner is, ding, 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 Albert Einstein. Good job, Wanda. Good job. Here's a really hard one. Think hard. Put on your mouse ears. Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world. There you go. You guys are sharp, sharp as tacks today. You know, if you can do something as cool as Disneyland with imagination and creativity, come on, church. There is no limit for the people who partner with God. How creative can we be in telling the story? Come on, that pumps me up, telling the story in a way that people can grab onto it, the light come on, the heart get changed. That's what I live for. How about this one? From a galaxy far, far away. You can't do it unless you imagine it. I gave you a clue. Ding, ding, ding. Who said George Lucas? Come on now. A lady is sharp. It's a gift from God. Imagination is a gift from God. When we tap it, people realize it. It's like, whoa, that is so awesome. What if we use that same skill to dare to dream with God for what he's imagining? It's Ephesians 1:18. Here's the intent. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that his calling holds for you. Man, I just want to stop and pray that. Would you just pray with me? Lord, would you open the eyes of our minds so that we could see the hope of the calling you have for us, the life you intended us to lead? Say this, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my mind. I dare to dream with you. Amen. God has a calling for every life. It's a path to significance. It's a path to satisfaction. And it's wilder than you can imagine. It's beyond your ability to figure it out or logic it out. It doesn't make sense. But without a dream like that for your life, you're just existing. And to me, existing is death. You're dying. You're just going through the motions. You're a zombie. You don't have a real life unless you're living this dream that God has. Now, listen to me. Sometimes the stages of seeing the dream fulfilled aren't exactly pleasant, you know? Sometimes they're painful. But God even uses that. Sometimes we blow it and get off track and make mistakes. Anybody besides me, right? Sometimes I blow it. But God even uses that together for my good. That's how wild our God is. How amazing he is. To take even my poor decisions, and if I will learn from them, he can use them for my good. Thank you, Jesus, that he's bigger than I am. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, people, what? Wow. Lack of vision leads to death. Think about that. Where there is no dream, death is sure to follow. Number four, God's dream for my life is so much bigger than my dream. So much bigger. Ephesians 3, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. So glory to God in the church. Glory to God in Jesus. Glory in all the generations. Glory to God forever and ever. That's the point, that God received the glory, right? Not so that we become hot stuff. The world's impressed with us. No, that's not why we do this. We do this so that people are impressed with Jesus, so that he has a chance to get into their heart, get into their life, open their eyes, give them a hope and a dream and a desire that there's more than we can ever imagine for this life and the life beyond. That's called good news. And man, as long as we're here, we're going to preach that. Number five, doubt is the enemy of imagination. Doubt comes in to neutralize, to paralyze. All kinds of doubts, right? Doubt that God really is that good. Doubt that you're worthy of that kind of a future. And I just want to say this, that it takes courage sometimes to doubt your doubts, because it's way too easy to agree with them. It's way too easy for me to agree with my doubts. James 1:5 tells us how we grow through that. If you need wisdom, just ask God for it, because he is generous and always enjoys giving to everyone. But when you ask God, you must believe and not doubt, for a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven back and forth and tossed about by the wind. Such doubters cannot decide about anything they do, so they should not imagine receiving anything from the Lord. Wow, I mean, it kind of broke my heart. People coming down to this second in Francis address, before we even got in the building, I just can't imagine it. I just can't see it. It's like, you realize that God's dreams are going to come to pass. We just get to choose whether or not we participate. And I'm not saying every dream that I have is from God, because I'm not perfect and sometimes I miss it. But I just love it that God is bigger than my doubts. He's bigger than my failures. And he's faithful to guide. If we commit our way to the Lord, the scripture says, he will direct our steps. I lean on that. I put more faith in that than I do my own doubts, because I know God is good and he's for me. There's a story in the scripture, great story. Father of a son who's about to die. Man pleading with Jesus for help. And it says in Mark 9:22, the man said, please, heal my son if you can. Jesus replied, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. The father replied, honestly, I do believe, but help me not to doubt. Another translation says, I believe, help my unbelief. Once in a while, I'm tempted to doubt. True confession, put me on Jerry Springer, I'm tempted to doubt. And every once in a while, I fall into temptation, and I give into that thing. And I love it that this man was so honest to say, I do believe, Jesus, help my unbelief. See, he had a motivation here. What was his motivation? Why is he even, what's driving him? He's got a son that's dying. This is important stuff. Man, I tell you, I was in a situation once, and I didn't tell the story for service, and maybe shouldn't now because it's emotional for me. But when Krista's brother passed away in a car accident, his wife asked me to pray that God would raise him from the dead. And you got a family member who at 34 years old, Matt, you've been there. You know, they're laying on the gurney in the ER. Wow. What a shocker. You know, and there's the family seeing their son, their brother, their husband for the first time laying there with no life in their body. And you've been asked to pray that God would do something crazy like that. And I remember telling the Lord, I'll do it. I'll pray. His wife was begging me to do it. And it was, you know, such an emotional moment and, you know, all this craziness going on. And honestly, before I knew what was happening, we all left the room. It was like we had to get out of there. They wouldn't let us stay because we would never leave, right? So they made us leave. And I remembered the Lord said, you promised. It's like, oh, boy. Yeah, I did. So everybody leaves, and I turn around and go back in all by myself, which is kind of a creepy thing to do. I'm just being honest with you. You're in a room with a dead body, right? All alone. And I said, okay, Lord, if you need somebody to pray, I'm nobody special. But I'll do it because you're able. And I put my hand on his chest. He's a big guy, you know, and he was still warm. He just died. And I said, God, you're able to raise this man from the dead. And if you need somebody to ask, I'm asking. Now, God did not raise him from the dead. So you can imagine, I felt like a fool, but I felt like I was obedient fool, right? I'd rather be a fool than obedient, you know? Sometimes I feel foolish. Sometimes I think about this project and think, what was I thinking, right? Really, you look at the enormity of it, and it can just get overwhelming. And yet, I believe God led us here. And I believe we're seeing every day evidence that backs that up. You know, now for the last 4 weeks in a row, I don't know about today yet, I'm waiting for the numbers, but for the past 4 weeks, we've had over 200 attendance in this service and the first service. And that is a miracle that we would come to this dusty, dirty old place in downtown St. Joe and see 200 people a week come in here to love Jesus and love on each other. I'm telling you, that's amazing. I was at a place this week. I met with a few other pastors from around the country down in Kansas City. And these are church planters like us and being encouraged by people who are way down the road from us. And the church we were meeting at is in downtown KC, right off the plaza. You know how expensive property is off the plaza? They were in a box smaller than ours, not nearly as much character. Pretty rough shape when they got it. 5 years ago, this weekend is their fifth anniversary. Today in church, they will have over 900 people easily in that building that is smaller than this. Three services, no place to park. No place to park. No place. You have to go to Chiefs Stadium to find a place to park. There's lots of parking there today, right? I mean, it's like, how do you do this? It's because it's not about the box. It's about the life in the box. It's about the people who dare to dream with God, who wants to reach people any way he can. And that's why we're here. So it's good to dream with God about the things that are on his heart. And even when you doubt, to cry out to Jesus. Say, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Number six, how do we fuel our imagination? How do we partner with God? How do we make sure that what we're doing is not just the pizza I had for dinner last night, but really a heart of God dream and vision? You connect with God's spirit and you connect with God's word. Because God will never cross or confuse or deny his word and his spirit. John 14 says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is Jesus speaking. Who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. You'll know him because he lives with you and will be in you. Someone say, thank you, God. We are not in this alone. We have the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you who believe. That's an awesome promise. When we dream in accordance, in agreement with God's Spirit, there's a power at work greater than my ability or my coolness, which is very little. Okay, the second thing we partner with is God's Word. We have His Spirit, we have His Word. Psalm 119 says, open my eyes, Lord, to see the wonderful truths in your law. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful miracles. The key to a holy, sanctified imagination is spending time with God, spending time in His Word, walking closely with Him. And folks, I'm just telling you, that's the thing that you'll be fought on the most. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you being close to your Father, because then you might find out who you really are and start to believe it. So it's a battle. It's a battle for your time, but guess what? We all have the same amount of time every day. And you only build relationship with someone by spending time with them. You can spend time with God in prayer. You can spend time with God in His Word. I like to just be outside. I love to mow the grass because I'm spending time with the Lord when I'm out there. I don't have distractions. You can only do one thing when you're on the mower, mow the grass. So my mind is able to engage, you know. It's just to have that relationship, and that's what fuels the Spirit of God in you and the ability to dream with God, to think God thoughts. Job 33, God speaks again and again through people, though people often do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in bed. That's happened to me. I dreamt about this place. I'm talking this building 12 years ago, before I was a pastor. Now, you know, in dreams, things are kind of weird, you know? So this wasn't like exactly every little thing. But once I saw this building and remembered that dream, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the building that was in my dream. Water out front and everything. I knew it. It's like, okay, God speaks to us in dreams. And as important as receiving that word and believing and walking in that word, point number seven, growing my character will also clarify that vision. 2 Peter 1 says, to your faith add goodness, and to your goodness add knowledge, and to your knowledge add self-control. To your self-control add patience, and to your patience add service for God. And to your service for God add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to this kindness add love for everyone. If all these things are in you and are growing, they will help you to be useful and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who does not have these things cannot see clearly. See, without a sanctified character, without godly character, we can't see clearly. We got cataracts, right? We got fuzzy vision. You can have all kinds of gifting and all kinds of dreams, but if your character's messed up, it's going to be awful hard for God to take you there. Someone has said, I believe it's true, that your vision or your gifting cannot take you a place where character cannot sustain you. In other words, you can be super gifted. You can accomplish a lot of things because you're all that. But if you don't have the character to sustain you there, I'm telling you, we've seen it over and over and over again in church leadership. Right? Pick a pastor of the week who's fallen. It's like they had great gifting. Great vision, could do great things, but their character. It's not just in the churches, in the world too. You see corporate, American, all over the place. Character is so critical. You can have a big dream, but you better have a big character to go along with it. Point number eight, I love this point. It's my favorite point. If a dream is from God, it will be connected somehow to His church and His plan for the world. It just will be. Why? Because God so loved the world, His big dream, what did he do? He gave his only son. What a plan. The angels must have been like, are you sure about this? Have you seen those knuckleheads? Are you really sure about this? What if they kill him? What if they don't believe him? Huge risk. But guess what? You are worth it. You are worth it to God. You are his big dream. You are the reason he sent his son. And God says it's worth it. The local church is God's plan A for reaching the world. And there ain't no plan B, honey. There just isn't one. We can create all kinds of things that are good, but are they God, right? Good or God? The local church is where it's at. If you want to invest in something that's a sure bet, you invest in the local church. You invest your dream, your vision, your time, your heart, your talent. See, I think back about Disneyland. It's like, wow, what a bunch of creative people. We got just as much creativity in this room. What could we do with that to help communicate the message of the gospel? So proud of the team that went up to Humboldt School this week. Our whole point there was to give them a killer carnival, right? And can I just be honest with you? I don't mean to be insulting. Their carnival sucked. It just was bad. And they worked hard. Those teachers, someone said this, and then Kay said it. These teachers worked all day. And then they drug out folding tables and chairs and set these up, right, Deidre? And they had these little games and stuff. I've been at other school carnivals. Schools with more resources have cooler carnivals. Just saying. And we wanted to bring something killer in the middle of that. So we rented a bounce house for $150 and brought it in there, and it was the coolest thing at the whole carnival. And we did it because we love those kids and their families, because God loves those kids and their families. And we're hoping that we can make connection. And we handed out little invitations and told them, hey, Restoration Church, we sponsor the bounce house. Cool, thanks so much. Just to let them know we care. See, I mean, it's simple, yet it's huge. It's using creativity. It's asking God to invade that thing and let us come and make a difference. And I believe it worked. See, 2,000 years ago, God picked, 12 knuckleheads. One was a pain in the neck, so he didn't get to play. But 11 guys took that vision and dream. Then when Jesus exited the planet, they continued to dream and imagine and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, you're here today. You're the result of that dream and vision. And can I tell you that we got a whole city of people here? We're going to get to meet a lot of them next Sunday at St. Joe's Serve. That's why we do that. Just FYI, a little inside knowledge. That's why we do that. We like to make their house look better, but we really want to connect them with the love of Jesus. They can see some people who love God and say, not so bad after all. Where is it you go to church? It's our hidden agenda that's not so hidden. And that's what we have as a mission as a church today. Mark 8:35 says this, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll find true life. I want true life. I don't want the fake phony life. I want true life. Jesus said, I came that you would have life abundant, life to the full, life overflowing. A lot more fun than those people had Thursday night in Kansas City. I'll guarantee you that. And that was supposed to be a joke. You're supposed to laugh. Everyone's still depressed. I forbade David from playing his Broncos guitar today. Just put your hands down, David. Just put them down. I don't want to see all that. So, vulnerable time, right? I believe God's dream for this building is bigger than what we've yet seen. I believe that. I think it's pretty cool that in 2 weeks we're going to baptize someone, several someones, in that tank out there where water once filled that room, where people could come in off the streets of St. Joe in 1897. Still can't believe that. Get in out of the heat and dust of the day and be refreshed. Enjoy a respite from the heavy load of the day, to be encouraged and built up and renewed. Sounds an awful lot like a church to me. And you know, we were studying this Wednesday night at our Daring Faith small group. When Joshua and the people of Israel got to the Jordan, when it was finally time to go into the promised land, after 40 years of just, I just can't see how that could happen, right? 40 years of that. Finally, God raised up a generation who said, okay, we'll do this. But there was this obstacle called the Jordan River. I've been there. Jordan isn't that impressive. It's like the Platte, right? But it just so happened that God picked the moment when the Jordan was a raging torrent at flood stage. You've seen how the Platte can change? You seen that? It looks like the Mississippi sometimes. Well, the Jordan was at Mississippi stage, and they said, we're going to cross that, you know? And God said, yeah, remember how I split the ocean or split the sea back, you know, when I led you out of Egypt? Remember the stories? Moses and the stick, you know, Charlton Heston did the thing, you know. You've seen that, right? Behold his mighty hand. You've seen the movie, right? Okay. Well, they were like, cool, God's going to do that. And God's like, no. No, we're going to do it different this time. This time you're going to step in first. And then we're going to do something about that. I love it. You know, it's like God saying, you know, I'm God, I can do anything, but I need your involvement here. I need some crowd participation. So how about you stick your toe in and then watch what I do? It's like he's daring. He's challenging the people. It sounds like he did the same thing when he said, bring the tithe into the storehouse and test me in this, right? Saying, you do what you're supposed to do and I'll do what I do. But I need your participation. And so they did it, man. They stepped in. And it sounds foolish, but when they stepped their foot in the water, God said, okay, we're in this together. I'm the senior partner. Watch what I can do. And of course, the water stopped. People crossed over, and the promised land was theirs. It's funny that in 2 weeks, people are going to stick their toe in the water out there, right? Going to stick their toe in the water. Of course, they're going to stick all of them in the water, too. But it's a step. It's a step of faith. And I'm imagining something for that room. You know, it's just so crazy that that was filled with water. Imagine that's our Jordan. And God's like, stick your toe in it and watch what I do. See, I've got this crazy imagination, this crazy dream, this crazy vision of what that room could be. You know that with running 200 a weekend in this room, we're already out of room. Our fire marshal capacity is 75. So we're a little over, because the coffee shop's supposed to be in here, right? That's what this room is supposed to be, the coffee shop. 75-person capacity. So we kind of need to get in there. But it's not just because we're being forced out. We're being compelled because of a vision. Look at this video that I found on YouTube. It's like, when I saw it, I'm like, that's it. That's our space. So Zach said, clip me some clips of that so I can show. Show me the video, Amanda. Can you see our space there? Look at the balcony up there on the side. Someone took an old barn and made the coolest worship venue. Because he's the one who really matters. It's pretty cool. And I'm imagining what that could look like. And that's what I'm challenging us as a church as we're going through this Daring Faith series. For your life individually, for your family, for your job, right? For your neighborhood, for your church, for your city. If we dare to imagine with God what his dream, what his plan is, and partner with him, and dare to just stick her toe in and see what he would do. That's what I'm excited about. That's what Daring Faith is all about. And I believe that today we can partner with God if we're courageous enough to dare to go beyond the status quo, the norm, and do something about it. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to pray for us before I let you go. Isn't this weather gorgeous outside? Got to turn you loose and get you out there. Praying it's like this next Sunday, okay? It's going to be a good day. I want to give you something to think about as I leave you with this today. God's dream, God's imagination, the reason why he put us here, more than just to go through the motion, more than just to have church on Sunday morning, it's to impact people, to use creative, imaginative means to spread a message of how crazy God is about the world. But see, you can't give away a message like that unless you believe it yourself. You can only give to others what you own. You better not. It's called stealing, right? You only give away the things that you own, that you possess. So unless you possess the belief that God has an amazing plan for you, I don't think you can convince anybody else that God has an amazing plan for them. You can talk it, but that's different. Four questions I want to ask you this morning. It's funny, these are the questions that God asked me when my world came crashing in. You know that today is my 7-year anniversary as a pastor, today. But before I became the pastor of this church, I was on staff of another church. And I spent 3 years very challenged. It was my seminary, right? It was my teeth-cutting experience, and it ended with me getting fired. Church didn't like me. It flicked me out the door. I said, okay, like a booger on the couch, right? And yeah, I said that. And as I was having the world's best pity party, it was awesome, had a DJ, everything. It was cool. The best pity party you can imagine. God kind of interrupted, knocked down the door. I didn't remember inviting him to my pity party. He kind of was a wet blanket, kind of put the damper on things. And he asked me these questions. He said, what if? What if? What are the possibilities? What if you dared to dream with God? That his word is what it says, that he is who he says he is, and that he really does have a plan. What if? Second question, why not? Why not here? In this place? Whatever place you're at. See, if you think the place you're at is restrictive of God, then you don't understand how big your God is. You're looking at the size of your problem, not the size of your God. See, God loves the place you're in. That's why he puts you there. He loves the family you're a part of, as messed up as they are. He puts you right in the middle of it. He loves this city and all her problems. That's why I can't stand things like it's your squall. I hate that. I don't like Facebook because people get on it and trash my city. It's like people get on and trash my church. Not my church, but Jesus' church. And I say, hold on. That's the bride you're talking about there. You don't be trash talking the bride. You don't be doing that. You're going to deal with the groom if you don't watch your mouth, right? Why not here? Define the problem. Why wouldn't God start right where you're at? Why wouldn't he do that? Why not here? How about this question? Why not me? Why not? I'll tell you what, the only thing restricting you from moving forward in the vision of God for your life is you. But sometimes those other voices, I get them too, you know. It's interesting, I sat with my coach, I have a life coach, and a couple weeks ago he just said, let's back up the train and see where this all begins. And we found out the beginning is, I'm just not good enough. It's where a lot of my stuff comes from. I'm just not good enough. And I guarantee you, I'm not the only one in this house. That stops you, that freezes you, that paralyzes you. Why not you? Because you're just not good enough. See, that is a lie. And it doesn't come from your father. It comes from the other guy, the other team. Jesus said you were good enough to die for. That makes you good enough. Why not me? And the fourth question, why not now? Why not now? What magical moment are you waiting for? You're alive. You have breath in your lungs. You have a mind. You have a body. You have gifts, talents, and skills that God gave you that you're sitting on. I don't say that to condemn you. I say that to encourage you, to challenge you. Use those things right where you're at. And you got the God of the universe backing you up. Don't listen to the voices who say, you're not good enough. That happens to other people. It happens to other churches. It happens to other cities. God's like, yeah, I'd like for it to happen to you too. I'm waiting for a participation here. Waiting for somebody who will stick their toe in the water and let me do what I do. Anybody here willing to do that today? I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to pray for you, but because I'm a weird creative, I'm going to have you do this in worship sometimes. Don't watch me, but if you ever see me do this, this is what I'm doing. I raise my hand, but I'll clench my fist like that. It's not the rock fist. It's not, you know, it's I'm holding on to somebody else, right? That's what I'm doing. I know it sounds goofy, but I'm a little kid and he's my dad. Sometimes I just need to hold his hand. So today, if you need to do that, okay, so raise up your hand, do it now. Raise your hand and then close it. And Lord, today we're just saying by our posture, number one, that we're not alone. Sometimes it's, even though we got people around us, we feel alone. Jesus, because of you, we're never alone. Father, we're taking your hand today. Maybe we've fallen. We need you to pick us up. We skinned our knee. Somebody said something that hurt our heart. Lord, you long to walk with us today. And I think not just to walk. You long to run. Just see us running at full speed, having a blast. Grinning ear to ear, bugs in our teeth, wind flying in our hair. Lord, you want us to run with you in the dream and vision you have for our life. God, you have a dream and vision for this church. You have a dream and vision for this city. God, we say yes to it by taking your hand today. We say all things are possible with you, Daddy, because you're bigger than any doubt. You're bigger than any obstacle. You're bigger than any criticism. You're bigger than any fear, shortcoming. We can do all things because we got you by the hand today. Jesus, I'm praying for your children, including me. God, give us a fresh vision. Restore our heart. Open the eyes of our spirits. We want to see you, God, because when we see you, everything else changes. Nothing seems too difficult when we see you. No person seems too far gone when we see you. No hurt, no demon in hell can stand up against you. We stand with you today, God. We say, give us a holy, sanctified, and alive imagination to dream big dreams with our big God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.